All right, I want to look to the Word of God and ask Him to bless today. Lord, we need the touch that only comes from You. Lord, within ourselves, we'd be unable to fulfill what even that You would even have for us to do. It's only by Your strength, and it's in You that we move and have our being. Lord, we ask You, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come visit with us and be real to us today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. You know, the Bible said unless God had quickened us, that all of us would have went back. The battle would be too severe for anybody to survive unless it be by the grace of God. Thank God that we have been created in the likeness and the image of God. Thank God that He is able to quicken and renew us. The Bible says by the renewing of the mind, and the mind today is the battlefield of the soul. You settle it right here in your mind, what you're going to do, whether you're going to serve God. The sinner settles it in their mind, where they're going to accept the message of the truth. And then once you accept it, you begin to believe in your heart. The Bible says confession by the mouth, and when that confession is made, it's made unto salvation. But see, the mind, we have to concentrate on the things of God. You know, if the Bible tells us what to think on, if there be any virtue, you know, He tells us the things to think about, to think upon. I tell my wife a lot of time, I say, you know, we have to watch what we feed into our spirits. We have to watch what our eyes see and what our ears hear. We have to watch the things that, and if, you know, if you go around television this day and time, it's reached the point that it's all about violence. They can't have a program without somebody kills somebody or without somebody comes in and takes a gun and starts shooting somebody. And no wonder why we see and hear about so much violence, because most people's diet is made up of blood and guts and killing and murder, and that's what is all stuck before the people. We grow the kids up, amen, and they sit and watch this violence, amen, and then we wonder why there's so much violence in the land, amen. We need to put our mind upon the things of God, amen. We need to put our thoughts upon the things that are edifying to the soul and to the spirit, to the inner man. We must feed that inner man with the Spirit of God and the things of God. We must take in from the fountain that'll never run dry. The woman at the well, Jesus said, I'll give into you waters, amen, and they'll spring forward out of your inward parts, amen. Waters of be living waters, amen. He said, these waters you take from Jacob. Well, if you take of those waters, you will thirst, amen. It will only be for a moment or a season that it'll scarcely sense the desire of thirst that's within your physical body. But he said, if you'd have knew who I am, if you'd have knew that I was the Son of God, and if you'd only looked to me and asked of me, I would give you living waters, and those living waters flow out of your belly, and they would be water. Waters, amen, and a fountain that won't ever run dry. God said his people had committed two evils. He spoke there in Jeremiah, and he said two evils, amen, that they had committed. First of all, they had forsaken God as the fountain of living waters, and secondly, they had hewed them out cisterns that was broken cisterns, the Bible said, that would not hold water. Amen. So when we go back to the fountain, amen, we go back to the Word of God, and we find out that our source, people was looking for satisfaction in every source and every place, amen. They're looking, amen, for something to bring them a moment of pleasure or joy, when we know that the only true fountain of living waters is is from God Almighty himself, amen. And when we partake of those waters, amen, then we don't thirst, amen. He's a satisfying God. He's a filling God, amen. And I hear people say, I hear so many Christians say, well, I'm bored. I don't have anything to do. And I don't think a Christian should ever be bored, amen, because I never knowed a minute or a time that I didn't have something to do, a purpose for the kingdom and the cause of God. And I think a lot of times, sometimes our body gets weary, our physical body gets weary for the load we carry and the things we have to do. But I was thinking going home the other night, how it is, and I was thanking God, I thank you that you give me something to do. God, I thank you that you appointed me something to do. Amen. That you give me a place in your kingdom and a purpose in your cause. And you anointed me, Lord, with the good tidings of the gospel that I could share Jesus Christ and him crucified with a lost and dying world. Amen. That we could reach out to the uttermost parts of the world. That we could cry aloud and spare not and declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have, as a Christian, we have no right to be bored, because we can go to the Word of God. We can take the Word of God. We can carry it. I had a preacher to ask me here last week. He said, I can't find anything to do. I can't find a place they'll let me preach. I said, go to the nursing homes. Go to the nursing homes. See, so many people are wanting to be it. So many people are wanting to be popular. Amen. And we, amen, need to be busy about the king's business. For he said unto us, we must work while we have the light of day, because there's a darkness coming when no man can work. So we must be busy, amen, and we must continue on with the work of the Lord, amen. I hear so many people say, well, I'm trying to build a ministry. I said, my land, amen, scrap the idea. You're already working in the biggest ministry that's ever been upon the face of this earth. Jesus took 12 men. They were just plain old men. They didn't have a lot of degrees. They didn't have a lot as far as what man was looking upon. They probably wouldn't be elected today to any kind of high board or any kind of rank, because a lot of them were just common fishermen, amen. There was men that worked with their hands. But these men, when they looked upon them and they heard them speak, they began to say, oh, there's something different about these men. For these men had been in the presence of the Lord. And I'm convinced today, when you come into the presence of the Lord, it'll change your countenance. I'm convinced when you come into the presence of the Lord, it'll lift up your spirit. You can't be down when you're in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Because he'll lift your spirit. He'll cause your spirits to soar like the eagles. For he's put a new song down in your heart, and the ever praise of God upon your lips. And you can lift up your voice, amen. And you can praise and magnify the Lord, amen. Because the Lord, amen, is moving, amen. And when he's moving in your life, there'll be something going on, amen. Glory to God, there'll be something going on. You'll have a peace about you. You'll have a peace about your life. You'll have a purpose about your life, amen. And I'm telling you, we were created to serve God. We were created to be busy. We were created to have a purpose. But we take all of our time, if we don't watch, and we give it to things that are not building to the cause in the kingdom of God. You need to examine the moments of your day, and you need to say, is my day, amen, forward in the cause of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if it's not, you need to rearrange your day, amen. Because, amen, we have little time to reach them with the message of Christ. We have little time, amen, to reach them with the gospel. We have little time. And I know a lot of time it's hard, because we work with people, amen, and they reach a point. I think Sandy said something yesterday was of great wisdom. She said, it's kind of like this. You work with people. She said, I find this with young people with the school and the college. You find this in every department of the ministry, in every phase of what you go to do. You find people, amen, that for a while they'll get excited about the Lord. Amen. They'll be excited to hear what you got to tell them. But when they find out, it takes some living. Amen. It takes some commitment. That's the reason that damnable doctrine, and that's what King James words calls it. Amen. I'm not cursing, but the Bible talks about damnable doctrines. These are doctrines that will destroy your soul. That's the reason that doctrine says that if you get saved, amen, and you can do anything you want to and still remain saved, that's the reason that's so corrupt, amen. Because people, amen, they get brainwashed with that idiotic doctrine, amen, till they think that I can lie and cheat and steal and commit adultery and do anything I want and steal, amen. What was that preacher reared back and said, well, I can lie, cheat, steal, commit adultery, do anything I want to, and I don't change my status with God. If you'd have checked that man out, he was having an affair with a woman that he wasn't married to, and he had his own wife at home, but having an affair with another woman. And he was bold, amen. Sin, amen. The devil will make people bold, but it only lasts for a season. Because the devil don't have nothing to give you. The devil don't have nothing to bless you with. The devil don't have anything, amen. He has nothing whatsoever. Because it's all been stripped from him. It's all been took from him. He's been cast down. For the Bible said, O Lucifer, where art thou fallen, amen. He's fallen from his position. For at one time, Lucifer was a charge of a third of the angelical host. At one time he was in heaven and he was one of the archangels, but he exalted himself above the Most High God, and he began to say, well, I'm as big as God, I'm as smart as God, I'm wise as God, amen, I don't need God. And that's what the world's saying today. That's what religions are saying today. We don't need God. We don't need the word. We don't need the truth. There's religion that teach that you're your own God within yourself, but they're going to wake up for a rude awakening, because the trumpet going to sound so loud it's going to wake the dead, and only those that are in Christ, those that only are born again by the Spirit of God, are the only one that's going to be lifted up when the trumpet sounds. You can believe anything you want in this world. You can believe anything you want in this life. But when that trumpet sounds, it's going to divide. For the Spirit of the Lord, he divides. And that's what happens with people. That's what happens when you work with people, and all of a sudden, after a little while, they just take an attitude. They get some kind of attitude about them because they don't want to live right. We hear preachers preach on the radio and the television and the pulpits of America, and tell people they're unconditionally saved. They know where in this book, from Genesis to Revelation, ever one time ever says you're unconditionally saved. The devil give that doctrine in the ears of those preachers. The devil give it to them, amen. Because God from the first is a holy God. Somebody said, well, the blood flows both directions. Yes, it does. But you got to follow the scriptural formula. Hebrews 10:26 said, he that sinned willfully, after he come to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for him. You can't take it out of the word. Revelation's the 20th chapter. The Bible said, amen. The book's going to be open. Amen. And that book of life is going to be opened. And the Bible said they're going to be judged out of the book of life according to their works. Don't you ever let nobody come and tell you that God's changed his word. Amen. God has never changed his word. If you go into his heaven, you're going to go by his rules. Amen. Some people must think God's an idiot. I mean, a lot of preachers must think God is an absolute idiot. Why would he kick a third of the angels out? He kicked a third of the angels out of heaven for disobedience. Why in the world would he make a doctrine that say that anybody can go that wants to go, and you can live like the devil and I'll still take you into my heaven? Amen. I know the end time message. I know what I'll stand on every continent in this world and preach this message and tell the world that Jesus is coming back to get his church, and it will be a holy church. Amen. It won't be no house of ill repute. It won't be no house of fornicators. It won't be no house of adulterers. It will be men and women of God that have been purged by the blood of Jesus Christ and been washed and been cleaned and been set free of their sins, and they are daily walking with him hand in hand. And amen. The word said, little children, I wish you sin not, but if you do, you have an advocate with the Father. Amen. He said, confess your sins. He didn't say hide them under the cover. Amen. He didn't say slip around and do it. Amen. But we living in a world that the preachers, to get numbers and to get money, we're living in a world that the preachers have preached everything and anything goes. Just as long as you in my number and as long as you put your money in my basket. Amen. Or in my pocket. Amen. Corruption, the Bible said spiritual wickedness in high places. I was in a state hearing this week and I seen corruption on a degree that I couldn't even comprehend. I mean, I knew it was there. I've said it was there. But I seen corruption on the level. Amen. We have allowed in this country, we have allowed men to make our laws and run this country that is bought off by the persuasions of those that want what they want and have the money to buy it. Amen. We need some men that will go to our state halls of legislate and go to our nation's halls of legislate and we'll go back to the old standards. Amen. That can't be bought. I believe the crime for a person in that status to be bought should be a death penalty. I believe that in the ranks of the politicians and those that we send to Washington or send to Richmond to make our laws, it should be plain fact that if they are bought and they receive a bribe and they take a bribe, they'll be shot at sunup the next morning in front of the firing squad. Amen. Long as we, amen, somebody said, well, you believe in capital punishment. The word of God does. Amen. That's the reason we got the mess we've got here in this country. That's the reason we got the perverts and those that are running and raping and shooting. And amen. I like what our governor, when they executed that guy that had killed all those people up around Washington here back several years ago, back in, was 2002 or something like that, and now they finally got around to executing him for his crimes. And when that man, amen, he asked, they sent and asked for the governor to pardon him, I like what the governor said. He said, I see no reason for his penalty to be set aside because he did what he did. You know, and so we have allowed that complacency attitude and spirit to fill our government, to fill our nation, to fill our land. And we've allowed it to come into the pulpit, and we've allowed it, amen, to control the preaching of most preachers. I was preaching in a large church several years ago. And the pastor come to me and he said, whatever you do, don't you get on adultery. Don't you say anything about fornication or adultery. And I looked at him with, he could tell I was appalled, and he could tell by the look on my face that I was shocked at what he'd said. And he said, I've got to tell you, the backbone member of our church, he likes to sleep with the young women. He keeps him a young girl or a young woman, amen, at his disposal anytime he wants her. But listen, listen. He said, I can't do anything about it because he gives enough money that we make our church payment with his money. You want to talk about a dead, sick church? That thing was dead. I've been to morgues. I've been to morgues where every one of them was dead. And I felt more the Spirit of God than I did in that church. Amen. But I preached what the Lord told me to preach that day. I was never invited back. Amen. I wasn't expecting to. I said, but just give me one shot at it. Amen. That old codger wasn't going to stand before God and say, well, I didn't know that I couldn't do that. I was a good church member. Oh, and I give my tithes and I give abundantly. Amen. Amen. You can't buy your way. You can't tithe your way. You can't give your way. The only way is the blood of Jesus and living by the righteousness of God's word. Amen. We've been bought with a price. Amen. Glory to God. The word of God so plainly tells us, amen. We have been bought with a price. The Bible plainly tells us about the disobedience, amen, of one man's offense has death. This is in Romans 5 and 17. Reigned by one man much more than received abundance of grace and of the gifts of righteousness. So reigned in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, amen, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. The first Adam sinned, and because of that sin, condemnation come upon all mankind. And man had to have a Savior. The Bible said it was not but the blood of heifers, calves, and lambs. Amen. And that was but the tradition of your fathers, but it was by the precious blood, amen, of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that he became the perpetuation, the price paid. And the Bible said by this man's obedience, amen, then what Satan had beguiled, amen, through the serpent, amen, that Eve did partake and give to her husband of the sin. And he, in disobedience to the law of God, amen. Now then, the obedience of the second Adam, amen, which the Bible said, amen, of one shall cause, amen, be made righteous, amen. So by that obedience, and by that righteousness act of the second Adam, which was Jesus Christ, amen, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. In other words, he bought the right and the privilege to be saved. Amen. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he hung his head and he died instead. He was obedient. He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. I'm glad he died for me. I'm glad he died for you. Amen. Salvation is in the Lamb. Salvation is in the blood. Salvation is in the price that has been paid, for he had become the propitiation for sin. I said a minute ago, we're bought. We're bought with a price. The Bible said, amen, in Galatians in the second chapter, in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We've been bought. Amen. This life we live, it's no longer ours. We've been bought by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And by that precious blood, we have been redeemed. We have been redeemed. We have been saved by his grace and his mercy. And the life we live now, we live it in obedience to the word of God. We live it to please the one that bought that life for us. The one that was obedient unto death. That one that gave himself that you and I might live and that we might have life. And for that reason, Paul, he became a bondservant. Back in the days of the slaves, when they freed the slaves, so many of the slaves, their master had been so good to them that they chose not to leave their homes that they had with their masters. Even though the law had been changed and said they could not stay and the master could not refrain or could not hold them any longer, he had to refrain from holding them. Those people chose to continue on because there was bondservants. Paul said he was a bondservant. Amen. I myself am a bondservant. I give to the cause and my life is bound to him. I'm not bound as a man that's bound in sin, because he has torment, he has fear. But God's perfect love has cast out all my fears. And I have him in my life. He's my joy. He's the reason I rise of a morning. He's that which gives me strength when my feet are weary. And as my steps will begin to slow, he's the one that'll guide my steps through the valleys, climb to the mountain highs, and through all the toils and through all the battles and all the things that come our way. He's the one that lifts us up. He's the one that the man that penned the expression that was said to the footsteps in the sand, when the person asked, "Well, Lord, why?" was when I was going through the roughest, there was only one set of footprints in the sand. And the artist of that tremendous drawing that we see plastered all over homes and in churches and in magazines throughout the entire world, the writer of that statement come back with this reply in answer, that when the roughest times as you were going through, when the battle was raging on every side, then the Lord simply had his arms around you and he was carrying us. And we almost seen his footsteps because we was in his arms. We're hid within the hollow of his hand. Amen. We're within the cleft of the rock. Our feet are standing on the rock, and on higher ground that we will stand. The Lord's grace is sufficient to carry you through every battle and every trial. And I today beseech you that you might choose the Lord, and you might choose the way of the Lord, you might choose the way of the cross, and you might allow him to come and take a boat in your life. Cause the old man to pack his bags and to be cast out. And let the new man grow up in you that's after the likeness and the image of the only begotten Son of God. And that you can have life and have it more abundantly. I'm glad I chose him. I'm glad I chose the right way. And you might say, "Preacher, well, maybe you're wrong about some of what you preach." I don't think so. It's scotched in the word. And I'm going to tell you something. You might say, "Well, preacher, I believe I can just do anything I want to because I'm a church member. One time I prayed a prayer." And as that guy that used to preach on the station here, that we canceled his program because 3 times in a row he got up and said, "After you prayed to be saved, you never have to pray again. You're wasting your time." I called his office and said, "Don't send his program down here anymore because we won't air it anymore. If all that damnable doctrines, in case they might be right, now what's going to happen if they ain't? In hell, you're going to lift up your eyes in the flames and the torments of hell. But let's just suppose that I'm right. And I believe the word of God is right. Let's just suppose I'm right. I win either way." Amen. If you're saved by grace, and if you allow daily in your life the blood, amen, to cover your sins, and you invite him to walk with you and you walk with him, and behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, I'll come in. We'll sup together. Amen. See today, if it takes righteous, holy living with grace, don't leave grace out. We couldn't save ourselves. It takes grace. It takes commitment. It takes righteous, holy living to walk on the streets of gold. If you ignore that, where are you going to be when it all winds up? I encourage you today to live by the book. Go by the book. And you'll be glad you did when it's all over and done. God, in Jesus' name, save to the uttermost, reach the lost, set the captives free, heal the sick and afflicted. Those that are bound by man-made doctrines that have told them that they can live the way they want to, and God is bound to take them to his heaven. Lord, I ask you, Lord, they be quickened today and wake out of their sleep, and God be revived by the blood of Jesus, by the Spirit of God. Let their sins be cleansed. I believe if we confess our sins, God is just and faithful to forgive us. And God, that's your word. And Lord, we can't deviate from your word, because the word must agree. And if the Spirit anoint the word, it'll not return void. God, save to the uttermost is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.